It's August 11th, 2017, and this is episode 328 of Phil Hewlett and Friends. We have so much on today's show. Here's what you need to know. Don't go in the water. There's flesh-eating chiggers or maggots or whatever they are. It's the beginning of the end for humans. I'm confident of that. A marine biologist from Australia joins us to tell us what these are, if indeed he actually knows, and I doubt that he does. The total solar eclipse likely means the end of the world, so we have the senior editor of Sky and Telescope who will join us. Manny the Movie Guy reviews the new Annabelle movie. Our travel dude, Gary Warner, says North Korean nukes notwithstanding, now might be a great time to fly to Hawaii. Let's meet the friends. She's a woman about town, bon vivant, gal Friday and Saturday, cheese hostess, and she'll list your house and sell it in a day for top dollar, Skylar Charisma.
You know so much about me.
I do, don't I?
Wow.
He's a rockin', Harley-riding, guitar-playing, long-haired... I just realized he's the guy on the cover of the romance novel, sweeping the babe up on the horse on the beach, isn't he? That's who he is.
That's not a romance novel.
It's Stu Herrera.
Hi.
And in the studio with us as well, providing emotional support and occasional guttural noises, it's intern Ricky.
Yo.
And, oh, by the way, don't forget to play the intern Ricky game. I listened back to the podcast last week, Ricky, and you only did it twice.
You are so full
of crap that you did it 13 times.
What's the intern Ricky game?
Well,
I guess I'll find out.
Yeah, you will. Don't say. Come on.
All right.
Hey, when you go to sleep tonight and you lay on that bed that's covered in skin mites and dust mites and sweat and other fluids that we'd rather not talk about right now.
Aye.
You wouldn't put your nose or your tongue right on that mattress, would you?
I might.
Now, when you wake up in the morning, you can barely get out of bed. You're so tight and in pain and all that. Your bed sucks. Have I made this clear? What are you doing? You need the Droma bed. It is just the most spectacular bed ever made. State-of-the-art, ultra-comfortable, eco-friendly material, ergonomic design. Well, you can't even say ergonomic. You're in such heaven when you're laying on the Droma bed. And it's 100% sourced and manufactured right here in the USA. No other bed company does this. They give you a 200-night risk-free trial and free shipping to your house if you live in the 48 contiguous states. So I want you to check out the Droma bed. You'll get an exclusive offer code on our website on the sponsor page. Go to philhewlettandfriends.com, click on the sponsor tab on the menu, look for the Droma button, click on it, and go Droma. Droma, dream on one.
Wow.
All right, and when you're on the website as well, don't forget, subscribe to the podcast. You don't want to miss a single show, and go back and listen to all the other ones. There's also there's this nice green button on the website on the right. It says, subscribe here.
What do you want them to do with that?
You just click on it, and then you pick your poison. There's the Apple, there's the Google, there's the Android, there's the basic RSS feed, and there's the email. And it's so easy to subscribe to the show.
I don't even know how to do all that.
You don't. You just click. No. Clickety, click.
I just call
click.
You.
Well, and then you can call us, too, and you don't even need your phone. How do you do that, Phil? Well, there's a blue tab on the website. It says, leave us a voicemail. You click on it, and if there's a microphone in your computer, and I know there's a microphone on your phone, because you could do it on your phone, too.
Sure.
You just click on it, and it says, okay, record your message. And, hi, Phil. I think Ricky should talk more on the show.
I just go out on the front porch and cup my hands to my mouth and yell.
This is Ricky. Thanks. Talk to you later. And then it says optional. You could leave your email address or not. You could even be completely, hi, Phil, this is Ricky. And then it's not Ricky. It could be some guy trying to get Ricky fired so that he could sit in here and make guttural noises, right? So go ahead and leave us a voicemail. There. You're up to speed. And I've started blogging.
Really?
And whoever else on the show who wants to blog can blog. We're going to start blogging. Blog about whatever you want. Skylar, you want to do the real estate blog?
Oh, I would love that.
Or a cheese.
Wait, what?
Cheese blog.
Or cheese.
You can call it the chlog.
You forgot. Cheese hostess.
The chog.
Yeah, the chog.
I'll do that too.
There. Multiple blogs.
Dude.
All right. Good. Now you're up to speed on all the stuff that's happening. Why don't we get the show started in reality, because we have a lot to talk about. And Skylar, we'll start with you, because a piece of, what is this, 1980s or 1990s history?
90.
It's 1990s history. Is coming up for sale, and I think it's out of my price range, but tell me what it is.
Well, you know, whatever happened to the infamous white Bronco we last saw O.J. Simpson cruising down the 405 in back in 1994? Yeah, whatever happened to it?
A.J., was it A.J. Cowlings who was driving it?
Yeah, said, originally, yeah. And then
I've got A.J. in the back seat. You know, just back off. We're just going to drive home. And
everything's going to be fine.
Everything's fine.
Everything's great. I got my glove. Good.
He's got a gun to his head, but everything's fine. Remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Oh, yeah. So ultimately, it ended up in the hands of OJ's former sports agent, Mike Gilbert. Mm-hmm. But guess what? It will soon re-enter the public realm because word is Mike is attempting to unload the Bronco on the History Channel's Pawn Stars. Do you guys remember that show, Pawn Stars?
They go to pawn shops and buy stuff, or do they own pawn shops? I forget what it was.
They own them.
They own a pawn shop?
They go around and they look for stuff and then they sell it
back to their pawn store.
And they sell it at their pawn shop.
And people, I mean, they're so famous now that people just go to them. They just want to unload all their stuff on them. So Mike Gilbert is asking for, guess how much? How much do you think that Bronco is worth?
Well, that was one of the, what was that? An
89 Bronco?
It was a
93 Bronco. Oh, that's going to bring the price up a little bit.
That's a great year.
I'd say Blue Book has got to be $4,000 or $5,000 by now.
Easy. You think?
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. It's got some historical. I'd give them $8,000.
Yeah, easily.
$8,000?
So I could put it in a museum. Yeah.
Probably gets 12 MPG.
The O.J. Simpson Museum.
Yeah. What do you say?
Okay, check $500,000.
No.
Okay. Wait. Does it, with the glove?
No, yeah. That's another $500,000.
I'm sure that's another $500,000. Wow.
With a gun in the glove box.
$500,000. And it comes with OJ in it. No.
Jeez.
Wow. Yeah. So you guys know who Chumlee is? The guy, one of the stars of the show.
No.
No.
But he's one of the stars of the show.
You take your word for it.
Oh, he was so famous for like a minute. But anyway. His quote is, it's really one of the most iconic things we've ever had. And guess what? It's in pretty decent shape.
That's iconic?
Is it?
No, it's not iconic.
No!
I don't know. Is it iconic?
Well, yeah, it is in the news sense of things. But I think he's not gonna get maybe above $60,000 for that.
Like when you see a Ford Bronco, do you immediately think OJ?
When I think Ford Bronco, I think, dude's not getting any gas mileage.
That's what I think, too.
I don't know. I mean, in fact, when I see OJ, I don't think Ford Bronco.
When I see Ford Bronco, I hear suspension springs.
I don't know. There's a word for it. I'm not sure iconic is the one. But, you know, hey, it's semantics.
Did it have power windows?
Good
probably,
question.
You probably have to roll them down.
Probably did. In 1993, OJ probably got the good one.
And did it have a built-in air conditioner or one of those ones that was like aftermarket attached under the dashboard?
See?
That's a good question, Phil.
These are all good questions. You should be on Pawn Stars.
Maybe. I'll start a show.
Well, like, all right. You know, it's all negotiable, too. I don't think they're going to get the $500,000.
Now, what other words end in co? We have Bronco and we have... Mm-hmm.
Geico, or we have Gecko.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
That was the worst segue ever.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Wow. What ends in co?
Gemco.
Oh, I remember Gemco.
Yeah.
Oh, I used to love that store. That's
now everybody's sad.
Me and the shop.
You have to bring the show down.
Okay, let's bring it back up. Okay, so a lot of your listeners, I'm sure, are in the Orange County area. So maybe they heard about
Orange
this.
County, California.
Orange County, California. There's a man in Fountain Valley that's suing Heineken after saying he found two baby geckos in a 24-ounce can of Heineken beer that he was drinking.
Whoa.
Two baby geckos lining the bottom of his 24-ouncer.
That's a big Heineken, by the way.
That is a big Heineken, hence the two geckos, you know, because there was room for them.
Because standard beer bottle is 16 ounces,
16
right?
ounces, yeah. So right, it's a jumbo. Right. It's not, 20, a, not, not a 40.
It's
but,
not a 40.
But it's a, you know. That's
because
a good
that's set. Racist.
Always playing the race card, Phil.
Here we go. You always take it there, and then we have to try to bring it back.
All right. So
geckos.
What color were the geckos?
Yeah.
Well, not only were they were like this weird, like, almost like flesh color, but according to the zoologist and that examined them, they weren't just any geckos. They were juvenile leopard geckos.
Oh, those are the most tasty type.
There's species not even indigenous to the United States. And the lawsuit claims the animals were not decomposed and speculates they somehow were alive when the beer was originally canned.
Wow. But, wow.
Yeah. Heineken's released a statement. They're denying the accusation, saying they've investigated the claim and confidently believe there's no merit to it.
If I were Heineken's attorneys, I would instantly take the gecko version of Heineken to the lab to see if there are good properties about having geckos in beer.
I mean, it sounds weird, but I dig geckos. I think they're neat. Unless they're trying to sell me insurance, I don't think that's neat.
They make obnoxious noises when they're on the ceiling of your hotel room or your house or whatever in Hawaii.
Do they?
Yeah. You ever have that, like a little bungalow or a private
house
in Hawaii?
I had a bungalow in Costa Rica, and there was a gecko in the lampshade. I didn't try to drink him, but...
Did it make noise?
No, he was chill.
Were you wearing the lampshade at the time?
Maybe.
Hey, speaking of stuff in your drink, if you're looking to taste the true spirit of Harley Davidson, but can't afford to buy a motorcycle, you could just settle for a $1,000 bottle of gin that contains authentic Harley Davidson parts.
They're so in touch with the common man. I love that.
Yeah. There's a guy, he's from Germany. His name is Yui. He's a motorcycle enthusiast. Is that how you pronounce that?
Yui?
U-W-E.
Sure.
Yui.
You.
Yui.
Oh, it's you. He's a female sheep.
Oh, that could be.
I love you.
He's been collecting vintage motorcycle parts from all over the world for 40 years, and he's putting them to good use now with the world's first Harley Davidson-infused gin. Every bottle of his exclusive... It's called Archaeologist Gin. Comes with a vintage motorcycle engine part submerged in the quote-unquote high-quality gin. So
points for creativity.
Yeah, and having a little piece of steel swimming in your alcohol it is potentially unhealthy and dangerous.
I can't wait to sue Harley Davidson.
Yeah,
when I choke on whatever it is that I'm drinking, and that's just
look at the
that's
bottles right there. Check it out.
Look at the bottle. Oh, that's going to take some work to get that.
How do they get them in the bottle? Down. It's like getting the ship, you know, the schooner.
So there's like a cam. So it's not just like a nut or a bolt. It's like a full, you know,
a full-on
it's a cam
engine.
Or let me see that again.
Yeah, sure.
Like the radiator? Harleys have radiators?
No, not radiator, but there's a cam, and there looks like a throttle handle.
How about a caliper? Do they have one of those in there?
Not in those bottles.
No?
But that's just, I don't know what to think of that.
How about a magneto? Do they have one of those?
Oh, not in this picture, but a magneto in a bottle of gin. I would think if you want to, you know, imbibe the true spirit of Harley, just chug down some motor oil.
Yeah, I think so. That's the way to do it.
If you can find one with motor oil in it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know what? Sometimes when a performer's on stage and they get kind of, you know, sweaty, it's a little like they're covered in oil. And so
you ever seen Def Leppard?
Yeah, right. And you're
Phil Collin.
Your hand, you know, if you try to touch a famous person, might just slip right with that oil and like find its way to some place where it shouldn't oughta belong.
Uh-huh. Nice.
Yeah,
and that's a roundabout way to getting you right direct to one of the biggest entertainment news stories of the week.
The story itself is big. I get you. Okay, sorry.
Well, my phone was blowing up with CNN breaking news. Taylor Swift is 6 feet away from the front door of the courthouse. And then 2 minutes later, Taylor Swift has opened the door to the courthouse.
Oh, my God. Taylor Swift had a bowl of Fruit Loops for breakfast this morning. Yeah, so everybody's favorite Taylor Swift is in court. And I don't know, this is kind of an unavoidable story because it's just kind of funny.
Yeah.
So if you haven't heard this, she is alleging that a couple of years ago in a publicity photo she took, I think before one of her shows, there was fans and radio guys there. And, you know, radio guys were an untamable lot. Anyway, she alleges that she was groped by this disc jockey. this now out of work DJ named David Mueller.
And was it officially an unwanted groping?
Apparently it was an unwanted groping. Now this is an angle to the story that I did not know before yesterday. Apparently Taylor Swift is known for not having much of a nass or anything to grope.
Oh,
she says
right.
There's a lot of flatness going on?
Apparently there's a lot of, yeah. Yeah, she does not have a bulbous rear.
She's a flat bottom girl.
That didn't stop David. He is suing her for $3 million because when she, you know, alleged that he groped her, he lost his gig apparently. And Taylor is suing David Mueller for $1.
Oh.
The point of it all.
She's going to spend $1 million in legal fees to win a dollar.
Yeah. Sure, why not? So, because, you know, you can't get blood out of a rock. If David Mueller had money, maybe she'd be suing him for something. But she's got enough, right?
I wonder if he's going to get a radio gig out of this. He'll be the next big national morning guy.
You know, he's rolling the dice so hard. This guy's got to be white-knuckling life right now.
Yeah.
The best celebrity quote came out of the courtroom yesterday when Taylor Swift said, "He stayed attached to my bare ass cheek as I lurched away from him."
What was her cheek being, why was her cheek bare and in his general vicinity? They were in a hotel or
these
were they?
These rock stars, they don't care.
She's on stage.
No, she wasn't on stage. They were probably
no.
At,
it's a, you know, it's like on a step and repeat.
Yeah, step and
it's
repeat
just like a
kind of thing.
Greet.
You know, it's a cattle call. Okay, next.
She just coincidentally forgot to wear her pants. Is that what we're saying?
She was, I don't know. She was in a skirt, and there's a photograph of this. there isn't damning evidence because there was obviously nobody taking pictures from the rear, but from the front, there's a photograph.
No pun intended.
and you could totally see this dude. Hey, come on, we all know radio guys.
Yeah.
He's guilty as hell. You can see him. He's fully got his hand up her butt.
Yeah.
It looks like.
And implanted.
And she is smiling big.
Nice.
Like a whoopsie.
Yeah. Well,
like that kind of a smile?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm just picturing this guy with his hand clasped on her butt and she's trying to squirm away.
So
from
you're telling me she wasn't wearing her granny panties on that day?
Not that day.
Yeah. All right.
No. His quote is awesome too because David Mueller admitted that, yeah, the picture is, quote, weird and awful, or awkward, I should say. But he testified, my hand was at ribcage level. What?
And apparently, you have to see the picture.
Apparently, it went down.
And I'm clearly
looking at,
not.
I'm looking at this photo. I'm like, dude, you are copping a feel for sure.
And he has the biggest grin on his face. Yeah. He knows exactly what he's doing.
He's a, you know, ass-eating DJ from wherever. And I know the type. We all know the type.
Yeah, but you
I
know
believe
what?
Taylor.
Some people see opportunity, and at a moment's notice, they seize it. And most of us, we have regrets because we say, God, I shoulda, I oughta, I woulda, but I didn't.
And, hey, kudos to David for giving it a go.
He saw Taylor Swift buttock. And
I'm on that.
Yeah.
I'm going to get that. Watch that. Maybe it was probably a bet.
He said that. I'm going to get that.
I'm going to get that. Watch.
I'm
going to have some. I'm going to have a story to tell Monday and to have my grandkids.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you do have a story to tell your grandkids why there's no inheritance.
Next thing you know, he'll be selling his palm to Pawn Stars.
That's right. It's an iconic palm. God. We're not going to. So anyway, that's Taylor Swift. This isn't over yet.
I'm laughing so hard.
Later this hour, Manny the movie guy is going to review Nut Job. The Nut Job 2.
On a roll.
The Glass Castle and Annabelle Creation. And this to me was the biggest story of the week. Just bigger than anything. A teenager from Melbourne, Australia. Melbourne, Australia. Says his legs were covered in blood after they were eaten by tiny marine creatures at the beach. Is this the most frightening thing you've heard ever?
It's crazy.
Yes.
Because it's reality. When 16-year-old Sam Kenese felt sore after a game of Aussie Rules football on Saturday, he went to the beach and decided to soak his legs at Dendy Street Beach in Brighton.
Sure.
Half an hour later, he walked out of the water covered in what his family said were tiny marine creatures eating his legs. Sam's dad, Jared Kenese, said, when we got out, he described having sand on his legs. So we went back in the water.
Stop.
Wow.
That's my.
That wasn't bad.
I got all the way through the sentence without devolving to pirate.
That wasn't bad.
When he got back out of the water to put on his shoes, he found blood on all over his legs, and these tiny creatures ate through Sam's skin, and it made him bleed profusely.
Dude.
So try as they could, Sam's father couldn't stop his son's bleeding, so they went to the hospital where the staff were at a loss to explain what had happened.
Well, we're just going to have to cut your leg off then, ain't
you? Yeah, as soon as they wiped his legs off, the blood kept coming. So Dad says, There was a massive pool of blood on the floor at the hospital. Anyway, now I've turned into...
I don't know what that was.
I've turned into one
of the creatures.
I've turned into Pinky from Pinky and the Brain.
There it is.
The family says no one knows what the creatures are. They've called a number of people, toxicity experts, marine experts, and other medics around Melbourne, at least. And as far as they know, no one knows. So what do you say we take a crack at it? Joining us now is an associate professor at the Evolution and Ecology Research Center, School of Biological, Earth, and Environmental Sciences at the University of New South Wales in Sydney, Australia, Professor Alistair Poor. Welcome.
Yes, thank you, Phil, for having me on.
It's great to have you. Now, you're a marine invertebrates expert, right?
Yes, I work on lots of little small animals that live in the sea.
All right. Well, you're the perfect guy to speak to then. Prior to this event in Brighton, had you seen these creatures before?
I've seen some of the creatures, but we've never seen them do this much damage. So the sort of remarkable thing about this story is just how many bites this boy got and how much damage was done. So the photographs were certainly very dramatic.
So they've shown in the past that they do have an appetite for flesh, but in this case, their appetite was ramped up quite a bit.
Yeah, so there are lots of... animals in the ocean that will take a bite out of bigger things. So there are all sorts of little parasites that will grab onto a fish and take a bite, just like we get bitten by mosquitoes on land. There are also lots of little animals that will eat dead things and clean up dead animals on the seafloor. So one of the great things about this story is that the father of the boy went back to the beach the next day and did a great little experiment where he put down some raw meat and observed hundreds of these animals swarming to feed on that material. And so that shows you how many these scavengers are out there.
No, you call them scavengers. What are they exactly? Are they maggots? Are they chiggers? Are they lice?
No, they're small crustaceans. So they're little shrimp-like animals that are related to crabs and shrimps and lobsters. We initially suspected that there would be a group of crustaceans that we call fish lice. These are animals that take bites out of fish, and they're related to slaters or pill bugs, if you know them from your garden.
Sure.
But then when we saw the video footage of the animals attacking these little bits of meat, they were identified by staff at the museum in Victoria as amphipods, and so this. Unfortunately, it doesn't have a common name that people will be familiar with, but people are calling them sea fleas, or sometimes they're called beach hoppers. But again, a little shrimp-like crustacean.
But they do share a space.
Really common in the ocean.
So they do share some space on the taxonomic shelf with other creatures.
Oh yes. We know the group that they belong to is very common in the oceans of the world. They're just not so familiar to people because they're small and they're mostly marine.
Right, and they would be found in deeper waters where we wouldn't notice them so much. Is that the case generally?
No, they're in shallow waters as well. So just like insects are really common on land, lots of small crustaceans are really common in the ocean. So if you sample marine habitats on rocky shores or kelp forests or seagrass beds, there's often hundreds and hundreds of these tiny little crustaceans. And normally they go unnoticed, but here's an example where a bunch of them really made people take notice.
Right, and as a scientist, you find this fascinating. But for all of us others who want to go to the beach, we find this frightening, that you could go in the water and then come out bloodied.
Yes, I can understand that. And obviously, coming from Australia, where we've got a few other more dangerous animals, then I can see people's interest in this story. I think it is, it's very unlikely to have happened. So, there are certainly things out there that can do this, but the fact that we've never seen this before tells us that it's, it is really a very unlucky event for to have happened.
What do you know about the reproductive prowess of these creatures? Do they have the potential in their genetic makeup to wreak havoc on the food chain and I don't know, find their way to California?
Well, that group of animals will be in California.
Oh.
They're pretty much global. But what we don't see very often is them biting people like that. That's the unusual thing.
But what if that behavior becomes the norm? Is that in the cards right now?
I wouldn't think so. I think this is just an unusual example where someone happened to be next to a really large swarm of these animals. They would normally feed on things like dead fish and material that's on the seafloor. They actually have a very important role in the food chain because they basically clean up all of the dead things. So if there weren't lots of scavenging animals in the ocean, then you'd have piles of dead fish and dead whales.
So what we're saying, perhaps, is that young Sam, 16-year-old Sam, perhaps should have washed a little better before he went into the water.
Yeah, it's hard to know what triggered that number of bites, whether he was just in an area that had lots of animals. You're right, he might have had a particular smell that they found attractive. So most of these scavengers have very good sense of smell and they're attracted to, you know, food from some distance. That's possible. But we're still, you know, none of the marine scientists in Australia know exactly why that you know, would have happened at that particular time.
But well, that's comforting.
Have strong suspicion of which animals are responsible.
Now, let me ask you this, just for perspective. Which sea dweller is potentially a bigger threat to humans? These sea fleas or lice or sharks?
Oh, sharks, absolutely. And in Australia, some of the poisonous jellyfish are really very dangerous and people die. So these small crustaceans that, you know, obviously we've just seen that they can damage people's skin, but they are, I would consider them a very low risk compared to some of the other animals that are in the ocean.
So bottom line, what this is yet another reason why you should think twice before you go into the water in Australia.
if you're concerned about those things, but we don't think twice every time we hop in our car and go for a drive, which is way more dangerous. It is a very unusual event, I think, and I can see why everyone's so fascinated by it, because it really does look like something out of a horror movie.
Professor Alistair Poor, thank you so much for giving us some perspective and perhaps allaying our fears ever so slightly.
Okay, now it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
I don't know, man. I may just give up going in the water altogether. Because if you're in a car, you kind of you feel somehow like you're in control because you could see your environment. You see, even if you get broadsided and you didn't see it coming, yeah, you still have your hands on the wheel and you feel like you're in charge of something. But when you're just floating in the water, you can't see what's beneath you.
That's true. Yeah. I don't think about it too much. I try not to. We haven't had that, but obviously we've had sharks.
Do you open your eyes when you go underwater at the beach?
Sure do.
You do?
Yeah, but I'm not under the water mostly. I'm floating on my board.
Yeah, but when you go under a wave or something, do you open your eyes? You
duck dive a wave? You know what? No, I suppose they're usually closed. You can't really see anything even if they were open.
Because when I watch the surfing videos,
yeah,
they always show these people underwater, the really good surfers, you know, underwater, right, and they always have their eyes open and there's like a sea turtle going by. You know?
Well, that's because they're in a place like Hawaii or someplace with beautiful pool-like,
yeah,
crystal
and we,
blue
we
water.
Surf in the Santa Monica Bay where it's full of all sorts of mercury and pollutants and all other things, right?
Well, I suppose.
And mutant fish and perhaps these sea chiggers.
You know what? I'm wearing a wetsuit.
Yeah.
They're going to have to chig. They're going to have to chew before they get this flesh.
You know, if you want to chew on something, I do recommend that if you're in this area, Southern California, that you come on out to Portsacall and see the Portsacall Waterfront Dining Restaurant. It is just a spectacular restaurant. You sit down, have a great meal, and you won't bleed.
externally.
Yes, but they will serve shrimp, and they will serve lobster and crab and all these different things on any given day. They've got a great menu over there if you haven't been there. There's a dynamic view of the L.A. Harbor from every single seat inside Port Sakal Waterfront Dining. You can walk to it from our studio. It's just a spectacular place. They have daily sunset specials, the South Bay's best champagne brunch, and you could dine outside in their harborside patio.
It is super bitchin', and it's a unique scene out here because I'm fascinated by, like, everything that comes to the country comes through Port Sakal and winds up on trucks, and off it goes.
It's
the genesis of the truck.
There's a guy climbing out of that container on that ship. He's got something in his hand. What? He's got flesh-eating shrimp. Yeah. We got off the point here. The waterfront, Port Sakal Waterfront Dining is just a wonderful place to eat. Never mind the guy in the container. He has nothing to do with the restaurant, go call them at 310-833-3553. Make a reservation or check out their website. It's pretty cool, too. The website is. You just can't taste the food from there. You have to go to the place. But here's the website, portsokaldining.com.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yes, indeed. All right. We're about 10 minutes away from Manny, which is always a fun time. I'm Phil. Stu and Skyler are here. Intern Ricky is in the studio. And how are we doing on the Intern Ricky game? I think we're at zero.
I'm still waiting to find out what the rules are.
Yeah,
me too.
Right.
How can we pull?
Two. I'm not loud enough.
He turned away. I saw you turn away and belch a little while ago, and nobody caught it, but I did. Was that part of the game?
That might not have been.
Okay. Okay.
Might not have been, but I don't know if you're going to win any money at this, but sometimes the money, it just make you mad, especially if you're trying to live your life free of certain types of foods.
Yeah, I don't know. This sounds like crazy people. I don't know, we're giving time to him. But in England, there is a controversy that is, I don't know, brewing. It's not brewing now. It's over. And I guess the vegans lost.
Oh.
So last November, it came out that the Bank of England was printing money using this special new polymer that's made up of a big old soup of chemicals. And one of the things that's in their soup to make the money is trace amounts of tallow, animal fat.
Ooh, that tallow is
tasty. Which is kind of weird. But thousands of people protested, and the bank put the whole process under review.
Yeah,
because they're reasonable folks.
And they want vegans to go to the Bank of England.
They want vegans to use their money too. And I don't know how they're going to get around now. But anyway, the bank is back, and they say after careful consideration and checking out all the sides of the argument, the fat stays in the money.
Oh,
and there's tallow, there's fat. I did not know this, and neither did you. In all kinds of stuff.
Yes.
Credit cards, mobile phones, cosmetics, soaps, car parts.
Yeah.
All have animal fat.
Well, what are you going to do with all these animals that we turn into steaks that you see at the grocery store? They have all sorts of byproducts
there's leftovers.
Different places.
Yeah. I don't think they're just breeding cows so that they can just get the fat out and put it in the money.
You know, as a nation, and not just our nation, but across around the world, I mean, we're more or less Ted Nugent. We use every part of the animal that we kill.
Ah,
isn't that right?
Use every part of Ted Nugent. Turn him into some money. I'm just kidding. I love Ted Nugent's old music.
Yes.
Well, anyway,
we love your older, funnier movies. Little Woody Allen reference.
The Bank of England. The vegans are so pissed. I don't know what can you do.
What you can do is stay out of the way of an angry vegan.
Right, because they will shake their fist. And they might even use foul language.
And be careful. The more shaking they do, the more likely they are to pass out from the lack of protein.
Why not? They could just go back to the days of bartering animals themselves.
You know what rhymes with tallow?
Fallow.
Oh, here we go.
Sallow, which is the color of a vegan skin.
What?
Sallow.
Sallow. There's no color
in their
skin.
That was a condition.
There's no blood flowing in their veins because they're iron poor.
Yeah.
They're protein poor. Where are they getting their protein? From legumes?
Yeah. You can get by being a vegan.
You got to eat a lot of legumes.
I don't want to do it myself, but
you could power a small city with the byproduct of legumes.
Yeah, apparently.
I think it's just like saying legumes.
Yes, I do.
Legumes. Yeah, it's a bleak situation there. Sorry, vegans.
Yeah. Got any ink on you?
I don't have any ink on me yet.
Me neither. Yeah, I am inkless. How about you, Skyler?
None. Zero.
You're tattooed?
Zilch.
None of us have ink?
Intern Ricky's got ink. He's got bad ink.
I got bad ink, apparently.
Oh.
I got three.
He's got what he said, I want a tattoo of Mickey Mouse. And he got...
You work there. He tends to own you, so you never know.
You know what I want to get a tattoo of?
What's that?
Tattoo.
Yeah.
From that Fantasy Island. Awesome.
That's right.
That'd be the most redundant
so
tattoo
smart.
Ever.
Yeah.
And I've never seen anyone with one.
I was thinking if I ever got one, I would go full tilt and get one of those 3D tattoos and make it look like a shark took a bite out of my rib cage.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Sexy.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be great?
That's
and get a couple of those flesh-eating shrimp in there.
Get some of that red ink all over your legs and tell people you're in Australia.
Well, tattoos apparently have a byproduct or a side effect that we now know more about. Getting a tattoo could come with a bizarre side effect. It changes the way you sweat.
What?
This is according to a new study by American experts. People with tattooed skin produce less sweat compared to people with non-tattooed skin. Now, this is not...
It's clogging all their pores.
This is not that little butterfly on your ankle, Skylar. This is like a...
Skylar? I thought you meant Ricky.
Sleevey stuff, yeah. Like the lots of like big tattoos.
Oh.
And the sweat can... let's see. So they found that people with tattooed skin produce less sweat. And their sweat contained nearly twice as much sodium. You know, and sweating, of course, it helps us control our body temperature. That's why you sweat at night.
Yeah,
right?
Well,
and not sweating enough.
If you're engaged in the right activities.
Yeah, there you go. Nice.
Not sweating enough could lead to dangerous consequences. You know, you could overheat. Mm-hmm. You could suffer heat stroke. In extreme cases, you could die.
No way.
Yeah.
All right.
And
I would think that the sweat, they are sweating as much as normal people, but it's getting trapped under their skin because of all that ink.
Right.
And so is that?
Well, maybe what you should do is get a tattoo of a faucet.
Nice, Tim, Phil. Good job.
That's just silly, Phil.
It doesn't
like a dad joke.
Or Philly.
Or a sponge.
Or a tattoo from Fantasy Island.
I love that idea, though. That's great.
So
now that it's out, there's no way you can have it done because like eight guys are going to get it today.
Really?
Yeah.
Bastards.
I know.
Come up with your own idea.
That's right. Copyright
it. I'm so glad I never got a tattoo.
Copyright it.
Seems like a lot of money.
Yeah, it is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
Hey, you know who has a lot of money? You know who has a lot of money, Skylar?
Who?
You know who has a lot of money.
Are you talking about Judge Judy?
Well, I might be, except for the fact that you are.
Okay, let me ask you guys this. When you think of Judge Judy, what do you think of? Do you think she's like the queen of daytime? Do you think she's...
I think, man, if she looks in my direction, I am in a heap big of trouble.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I think of? I think of that doily hanging around her neck. That's hot. I will be her cabana boy any day.
She make you sweat.
Hell yes.
Oh, okay, well, little did we know. We all know she's one of TV's biggest stars, but she is only one of the richest. She just sold her entire 10,400 show archive back to CBS as part of a deal to extend her contract. And she'll be on TV at least now through the 2020-21 season. Let's see. 2020. Anyway, the price tag. Guess how much she got. Just guess.
How many shows was it again?
How many Broncos can she buy?
10,400.
10,400.
10,400. She could buy 10,400 Broncos.
Probably.
With it.
$95 million, you guys. $95
million.
Wow.
Judge Judy, if you're listening, call me.
You know, I just did the math. I mean, as far as TV shows go, That's a bargain for CBS. It's like almost $9,200 per episode.
What?
That's not that much.
Doesn't make any sense at all.
They broadcast 260 original episodes per year, and I didn't know this. I knew she was famous, but like they sell that show in 150 countries, and more than 10 million people watch it.
I think CBS got a bargain. They ripped her off. They probably should have paid $950 million because, again, $95 million divided by 10,400 shows.
It was $9,500 bucks a show.
Yeah, a little less than that, right?
Wow, dude.
That is cheap.
That is cheap. Well, she might not be the best businesswoman around, but if she's carrying 95
how old is she, 95? What's she going to do with
95 million anyway?
She's going to call Stu, and he's going to help her figure out what to do with that money.
I will help you in all kinds of ways.
Cabana Boys, Doily, loving Stu.
It's gross. I'm so kidding.
They sell doilies at Frederick's of Hollywood?
You can buy a lot of sexy doilies with that.
How many Broncos is that, though?
How many Broncos?
Oh, I don't know.
Hold on. I'm going to get this out.
Hey, you know what time it is, guys?
It's movie time.
It's time to see what the movie companies have in store for you at your local Cineplex. Joining us now is a doll of a man who's been known to hide under beds, in closets, and other places you least expect him. KMIR-TV Palm Springs movie reviewer, Manny the Movie Guy.
Yay, Manny!
Manny. Is he there?
Yeah. I also have my inner demon, just like Annabelle, you know.
Oh, man, that's right. Oh, before we get into what I believe is one of your favorite movie genres, the horror genre, I want to know a little about your trip, your sojourn to the land of Amazons in search of Wonder Woman.
That's right. I had a great time in Athens. I was just telling Mr. Michael earlier that Greece is not my favorite country.
It isn't. It is. It's you like it better than the Philippines, huh?
Well, European country.
Oh, okay.
That's my thing. But yeah, no, Greece is fantastic. I love the hospitality. I feel so welcome there.
Wow. Did you have some souvlaki?
Of course.
Ooh, and baklava.
Yeah.
And baklava, the whole thing. Oh, and I also had a great time visiting Mykonos. And of course, I had to redo Mamma Mia because that's where they shot the movie.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see that.
Follow me. I do Dub Smash, where I lip sync songs. Like when we were sailing in the ocean, I was singing Titanic.
Yes. And where, did you get folks around and they got drunk and then they would try to recite lines from My Big Fat Greek Wedding?
Yes. Opa.
Wow. But how about Wonder Woman? How'd that go?
Oh, well, fantastic, of course.
Oh, you didn't? You did? Did you find her? Did you get accosted by Amazons?
No, I didn't quite find Themyscira. It was hiding from me. But yes, Wonder Woman. I felt the spirit of Wonder Woman and Athena, of course, the goddess.
Now, the Wonder Woman. She lives in a cave, or what would you call that? A lair?
She lives in her own island.
Yeah,
she's
but it's like she...
the princess.
Where does she keep that invisible plane? It's in a cave, is it? Or is it a hangar?
And you know, by the way, there's no invisible plane anymore. The filmmakers want us to forget about that.
Yeah, forget about the plane.
I'm going to save that for the sequel.
Yeah.
Right, maybe.
All right. Now, I don't know if she's related to Chucky, but Annabelle looks like she just might take the box office this weekend. Is that right?
Yeah, and you know, I hope that she will because the movie is fantastic. I enjoy the movie. It's, of course, Annabelle creation. It's the demonic doll. Annabelle is back. And there's a scary story you need to know right now. And there's a bunch of dead children, a desolate ranch, mysterious family, Catholicism. Everything is in here.
Catholicism is scary.
Yes. Right, but if you think that it's been done before, think again. The power of Annabelle, the movie, lies in the power of our imagination. And director David F. Sandberg, the guy who gave us Lights Out 2 years ago, he knows how to manipulate our senses. And this one, of course, belongs to the impressive and ever-expanding The Conjuring universe. And Annabelle Creation is a prequel explaining how the doll became demonic. I love the cast. Anthony LaPaglia is there. Miranda Otto is there. But my favorite, two favorite ones are the two young actresses, Talitha Bateman and Lulu Wilson, because we see the demonic twists and turns right through their very eyes. When I interview them, in the film, there's like a little gimmick that Annabelle, the doll, does. She writes little notes and leaves it for people to see, and you know, then of course mayhem happens. But with me, when I interviewed the cast, I wrote them little notes and just little love notes, really, where you know I told the little girls they're fantastic, or it's one of my favorite horror movies of the year.
Oh, wow, really?
Giving it 3.5 out of 4.
So, when you think back to The Conjuring, was that the original Annabelle movie?
No, Annabelle showed up in the first Conjuring, and then of course she had her own movie in 2014 as well called Annabelle.
Yeah.
And now, and this new movie, we see the relationship between the first one and the second.
All right, so just to confirm then, she was not the seed of Chucky.
No, nor the Bride of Chucky.
All right. And what was the Bride of Chucky's name? Was it Tiffany?
Jennifer Tilly.
Yeah, but the character, though.
That's right.
Was the character's name Tiffany, the Bride of...
I think you're right. I think it's Tiffany. Very good.
How do you do that?
Chucky.
How did you do that?
No, I liked Child's Play, the original Chucky movie.
It's amazing. And by the way, I did tell the director, David F. Sutton, when I interviewed him, that there are limitations of not making Annabelle like Child's Play, you know, not, she's not like running around like Chucky. And there's something good about that because then it just depends upon our imagination. If you want to believe that she walks, by all means.
Yeah, and the whole Catholicism reference, I mean, come on. The Exorcist, Omen, some of the great scary movies were just steeped in that sort of
ethic. Scary films pay homage to much better movies in the past.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Okay, so we've had our share of stories about nut jobs on this program prior to putting you on the air. And there is the sequel.
Because I'm nutty by nature.
Exactly. We weren't referencing you, of course, but we have had some strange people to talk about today. But this movie, it's got just a power-packed cast of voices because it's animated.
Right.
And what do you say? Have you seen this one? Is it as good as the first one?
A Surly Squirrel, voiced by Will Arnett, and his friends return for the sequel to 2014's The Nut Job. This time, Surly and friends must stop their mayor, voiced by Bobby Moynihan, from destroying their home for a brand new amusement park. They're all nutty by nature. This one is a talented cast, like what you said, Mr. Phil, featuring Maya Rudolph as Precious the Pug. There's Jackie Chan as Mr. Fang, the leader of a street mouse gang who hates being cute. And even Katherine Heigl shows up to voice Andy, a compassionate red squirrel and surly paramour. But here's the thing. I mean, The Nut Job, the first one, wasn't great, but it wasn't exactly brilliant either. So this one, we don't really need. This one is an unnecessary sequel. But just like the Emoji movie, this film's target is the younger crowd. Little kids will be delighted by the colorful animated palette.
Fart jokes, butt jokes, all that kind of thing, right?
Right.
I like that.
Grown-ups will get bored with the hit or miss comedy, but unlike the Emoji movie, this one is actually watchable and has a great moral center about the importance of community.
The Emoji movie was just a bad idea from the start.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, really?
let me ask you this about the nut job, too. Does Jackie Chan do his own stunts?
I know, right? Well, his verbal stunts.
Tongue twisters.
Yeah. All right. And then this a serious movie here with Brie Larson, Woody Harrelson, and Naomi Watts, the Glass Castle?
You're right. You're talking about The Glass Castle. Oscar winner Brie Larson returns to the dramatic world after fighting giant monsters in Kong Skull Island. This time she's Janet Walls, the author of the best-selling memoir that the movie is based on. She's a young woman who must endure a horrible childhood with Woody Harrelson as her deeply dysfunctional father, matched by Naomi Watts as her deeply dysfunctional mother. There's a bunch of flashbacks that tells us the story of Janet. But to be honest, though, it can get quite repetitive. We get it. She had a grueling childhood, you know.
Yeah, stop your whining. Yeah.
fiery performances, though, save the film, especially Harrelson flashing his devilish charms. If you're a fan of the book, you may love this adaptation. It's a heavy-handed but entertaining journey about a woman slowly breaking
her. I thought you were going for Woody Harrelson and some frontal nudity or something, the way you were leading into that.
Yeah. Crowd pleaser. There.
No. Days are long gone.
Are they? Oh, okay. I guess, yeah. Well, what's the word I'm thinking of there, the legal term, when you can only wait for like 3 years or whatever?
Period, cool-off period. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway,
statute of limitations.
There you go. There's a statute of limitations on male actors and frontal nudity.
Did Woody Harrelson break it out for some film?
He might have, didn't he? In Natural Born Killers. Yeah.
Oh, I saw that. I don't remember that.
Oh,
and
sure
I'll be fine.
I'll be fine. Get the director's cut.
No, thanks. No.
Ouch. Okay. Say something to me in Greek besides Opa.
Kalinekta.
What does that mean?
Good morning. Oh, no, the Kalinekta is good evening. No, but I want to tell you Efkaristo, because that's what I've been using the whole time.
What does that mean?
Thank you.
Oh.
Efkaristo.
Efkaristo.
And then you have to say Parakalo. welcome.
Oh,
para hello.
Hello.
Wow. All right. That, beautiful. Well, it's great to talk to you. Everybody go to MannyTheMovieGuy.com. Look at his interviews with all the big stars. And what's
all the Hannibal interviews are up there.
Ooh.
Yeah, and next week we'll talk about Logan Lucky. Steven Soderbergh returns after saying he's done with directing. And this one has Channing Tatum in it.
So he lied.
Maybe.
All right. That house payment was looming.
Farewell tour.
Yeah, all right. Good. Hey, Manny, have a great weekend. Thanks.
Thank you, guys.
Hi, Manny.
Hi, Manny.
Bye.
All right, there he goes.
Now, I am curious, though, why Greece? Were they doing some Wonder Woman thing?
He just was taking,
a
week off.
Oh, okay. Like, that's bitching. It's like, you know, like the whole Greek mythology thing. Wonder Woman plays a part of that. Well, let's do it in Greece.
Well, he is a devout Wonder Woman fan.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a big-time guy, and he interviewed her, too. I think his interview's on the website.
Oh, God.
What's her name?
Linda Carter,
no,
as far as I'm concerned.
No, not Linda Carter. You and the old lady.
Judge Judy.
Wow, Stu. Wow.
I had no idea about that.
I like Stu.
Did you not have a strong mother figure in your life growing up?
You know, Judge Judy is the closest approximation to, like, a figure that kind of resembles my mom.
Oh, really?
This horrible Oedipal thing happening, and I deny it all. I was just playing around.
Now, we were playing around a little bit in the introduction of the program. When I was talking about your wonderful hair, or I implied that you have wonderful hair, and you've had long hair for a long time,
yeah,
for as long as I can remember, it's been long, and it is shorter than I remember.
This is military length, only down to my the bottom of my neck.
Yeah. Now, if a nuclear explosion went off,
I'd condition my hair. That's the first thing I'd want to do.
There's
nice.
You got to look good. Everybody's gonna look all messed up.
The universal wisdom is it would be bad for a bad hair day for millions of people.
Yeah.
That's flesh bad day.
But there's some standard advice when there is a nuclear blast about surviving it, like covering your head and not looking directly at the flashing fireball.
Yeah.
But here's a hair raising recommendation.
Ooh.
Wash your hair with shampoo or soap and water. After a nuclear blast.
Sure.
But do not use conditioner.
Oh, no. What?
Because conditioner will bind radioactive material to your hair, keeping it from rinsing out easily.
Oh.
And this is a warning from the government.
But you'll get frizzy hair then.
Yeah, well, never mind. Never mind, because you'll be dating people with bones exposed.
Or it's going to look like The Walking Dead.
Yeah. But if you think about it, I mean...
Bind radioactive material.
It's a good thing that they have bunkers for our leaders, because think of the hair of North Korea's leader and our leader. Are they using conditioner?
I don't know
if they are. But there you go. Don't use conditioner after a nuclear attack.
And don't get into a car, apparently.
Right.
We've
learned lots of things that'll kill you.
Yeah.
And we also learned that there's alcohol in stuff, or there's stuff in alcohol. Right? We learned there's gecko, there's bike parts.
Sure.
They say you shouldn't drink and drive, but there's a meat shop in Northern Ireland that wants you to make don't eat and drive a thing, too.
Well,
how so?
They recently launched a line of sausages infused with alcohol.
Yeah.
In fact, infused with popular drinks, mixed drinks like vodka and Red Bull or dark rum and orange soda sausages.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I thought they were just squirting, vodka.
No, they're getting creative here. Just in time for your summer barbecue.
I'd say slow that back one ingredient.
They have. They just added a Captain Morgan rum and club orange soda sausage.
What?
Club orange soda sausage.
What is... Wow.
Yeah. Let's see. What else can
I mean, don't knock it till you try it, but that sounds gross.
Does it? Well, yeah, but barbecued up. I mean, I don't know if you're going to even taste the alcohol.
Well, then what's the point?
It's a marketing deal is what I think it is. Let's see if I can find any more. Oh, yeah, they have a Guinness beer sausage.
Yeah, okay, that kind of goes.
Yeah.
That kind of, yeah, yeah. That
kind of,
sense.
But yeah. I don't know. Maybe just hollow the sausage out, make it into a straw. How about that?
Yeah, but the thing is, right off of the grill, have you ever had one of those sausages that just, like, when you're putting the mustard on it, all of a sudden it, like...
Pow!
Yeah, and there's, like, a hose of hot grease, and it hits you right in the face?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Do you ever get one of those?
Yeah, it's no,
like
it hurts.
It's like a geyser of grease.
You get a second-degree burn on your eyeball from trying to eat a, you know, a Frank.
No, yeah.
It's risky behavior for sure.
Sure it is. But, you know, we want to eat meat.
Well.
That's what we want to do.
I want to eat in Bank of England sausages.
Yeah. What was one of your favorite TV shows in the 60s? Stu, you were barely alive.
I was barely alive, but I mean, I watched them in syndication.
Like what?
So, you know, Gilligan and Hogan's Heroes.
And there was the Addams Family.
Oh, yeah, the Addams Family for sure.
What about you, Skylar? You were barely alive in the 80s.
Right. But again, syndication. I remember loving the Munsters, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Lily Munster was hot.
She was so hot.
She was so hot.
Actually. Yeah.
Do you guys remember the theme song?
Ding. Sure. Down. Round. It sounded like Dick Dale could have done it.
Yeah.
Surf Jam.
Because they had like a surfer Munster vehicle.
One of the few theme songs from back in those days to not have lyrics.
That's true.
Right.
Oh, that's very true.
And they lived
I
on
wonder.
1313 Mockingbird Drive.
That's right.
Mockingbird Lane.
Mockingbird Lane, yeah. Well, guess what, guys?
What?
The show's coming back.
No. They're all dead except for Eddie Munster.
Well, you know, I don't think that the actual characters are coming back, but NBC is rebooting the show. You know, lots of reboots lately, so why not make the Munsters one of them?
Did they pay Judge Judy for that?
Yes. Oh, and I did the math, and it's 190.
190 Broncos. Yeah, I did that too.
Wow.
190 white Broncos.
Oh, how about that?
So that's probably what she'll do.
So I saw the headline, and I got really excited, and I started going, da-na-na-na, but I realized that was the wrong, was the wrong song.
Yeah, because you're too young. How would you know? I mean, we give you a pass on that, because you're just a baby.
I'm just a tiny little baby. So they tried rebooting it in 2012. It didn't really work. They had Jerry O'Connell. Remember him?
Yeah.
He was going to play Herman Munster, and Portia de Rossi was going to play his wife, Lily, which, you know, she's hot. So
she's
that would have
super hot.
Yeah.
So wait, they tried to bring the Munsters back in 2012?
Yeah, but it didn't work out. The NBC passed on the project then, but now they're like, they didn't close the door, so they're reopening it. They're bringing it back. It's going to be like it was, a 30-minute show, except this time they're going to be basing it in Brooklyn instead of Mockingbird Heights.
I don't predict that's going to go well for anybody.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just seeing, I mean,
who would you want to play Herman Munster?
Howard Stern.
Somebody with a big neck. Yeah. I don't know. Some football guy. Maybe Terry Bradshaw.
The Rock.
The Rock plays everything.
Let's
just go with The Rock. Yeah. I agree.
And Ryan Seacrest will get Eddie. He'll get Eddie. He gets everything. He'd make a great Eddie, wouldn't he?
Sure.
All right, that's it for part one, the first hour of episode 328. We have so much coming up in part two. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a thing. We'll talk to you in just a bit. Part two of Phil Hewlett and Friends.
Coming up.